Sunday school material or new Sunday school lesson that we're going to be going through is we're going to be going through the Bible book by book, and we're going to take 1 week out of the Bible, 1 week each week, and describe a book, talk about its main theme, talk about the main stories in it. So it's like an Old Testament survey, a New Testament survey. We're going to do the Old Testament first because it came first. And one of the reasons why is because I don't know and understand the Bible. If I went through and I was thinking about giving out a quiz and a test to see how much people knew about the Bible and knew about different ideas or different portions and times. And it's an amazing book, and it's the book that can change us. And so this morning, we're going to give a lesson about the Bible first to hopefully get us excited about learning more about the Word of God. We're going to talk about the different period of times that they were in, the main themes that were found in there, the practical lessons we can learn from today, and the lessons that they were teaching back then. So it's going to be an Old Testament survey, and we're actually going to be going through the Bible book by book. So next week we'll be looking at the book of Genesis, and then we'll be looking about the book of Exodus, and we'll continue to go through that. And so the Bible has 66 books, so it's supposed to take 66 weeks. But we're going to start with just the Old Testament to begin with, and we'll see how it goes, and we might put the New Testament off at another time. But I think you'll enjoy that. But this week, the purpose of this lesson is to get us excited about the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of times at the beginning of the year people want to make changes. They reevaluate things, and people make a lot of money. They make a lot of money by putting out these self-help books. They're like, this can help you feel better. This can help you lose weight. This can help. I mean, especially at the beginning of the year, that you see a whole new market of things, the things that can help you. And I believe, being more than anything else, the Word of God can help us more than any other thing in this world. You're going to see new things out there, you know, saying the same things they were saying 30 years ago. And some of that stuff may be good, and some of that stuff, but the thing that can make the difference in our life is the Word of God. The Word of God makes a difference, and that's why to learn more. We want to be students of the Word of God. We want to have an understanding of the Bible. We don't want to be able to say, oh yeah, that guy Joshua, he was in the Old Testament, wasn't he? We want to know and understand how the Bible works together as one complete set. God has written in His Word, and it's important that we understand the Word of God. So as we go through this survey, it's not the intention for anybody. It's the intention for us to learn and become biblical people and understand the Bible. I think it's something you will enjoy as time goes along, as we get in the Word of God. I encourage you to even look through those books of the Bible for those weeks that we're studying them, to get interested and get to know them a little bit. Psalms chapter 19 tells us a little bit about the Word of God and the benefits of the Word of God. So why don't we start here in Psalms chapter 19. We're going to start in verse number 7. It says, the law of the Lord, which is another name for the Bible, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, you see those verses in 7, 8, and 9, all those benefits of serving the Lord and learning about the Word of God. God's Word changes us. It makes us different. It makes us like Him. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but if we're not being changed to become more like Christ, we're probably not studying the Word of God like we should. We're not allowing God to work in our hearts the way we should. If you look at those verses, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect at converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. We should become more wise through the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing. Our hearts should rejoice. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We should be able to see things in a different perspective from the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There is something we should desire, and our desire should be the Word of God. And it says in verse number 10, they should be desired more than gold, yea, than fine gold.
Yes.
How many of us look at the Bible that way? Don't raise your hands, but that's the desire we should have. And I think this week, and especially this upcoming year, hopefully we can have a better understanding of the Bible. If we get to our slides, it says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, and that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We see that things were written on purpose. They were written for us to learn from them. And that when we are patient and have comfort of the scriptures, then we can have hope. Some things I want us to learn about the Bible today. The first thing I want us to see, God's word changes us. God's word changes us. God has his Bible is the only thing has the power to really change us. And it has he has the ability to stir us. It has the ability to motivate us. Like no human device. No one can write something like the Bible. God himself speaks to us through its pages breathing fresh truth, courage, strength, and hope into our souls. And every time we open God's word, we avail ourselves of the presence and power of God. It's a living, breathing book. It is the book that can change our lives. And when I can tell you that what your opinion of the Bible will tell you what type of Christian life you have. Now, the Bible itself is not always easy to read. The devil will do whatever he can to try to fight you from not memorizing the Word of God, from not learning the Word of God, not reading the Word of God, not wanting to understand it. It's something the devil does, but the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Now, when you have this, you hear people preach and teach that are staying true to the Bible. It is the Word of God that is being preached. And look at that last phrase, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Bible's supposed to work in you. It's supposed to change you. When you read the Word of God, it's supposed to do something on you to show you and help teach you and train you. When you read the Word of God, you don't read it as a history book. Say, oh, that was interesting to learn. That was interesting to see. That's good to know. Instead, you let the Bible teach you and let the Holy Spirit of God show you things that you need to change in your life. The pastor that I grew up with at home and Pastor Tom Berry, I know he's been to our church a few times because he was friends with Pastor Thompson. And he used to tell me that there was times when he couldn't even read more than 10 verses at a time and get so convicted that he'd have to pray and ask the Lord to help him. When you look at the Word of God and you apply it to your own heart and you apply it to your own life, is this something I need to change? Is this something I need to work on? And if the answer is no, then we should rejoice because the Word of God has changed us. I can tell you that in our lives, at least in my life, if I go back and look at it, there's things I will not do and there's things that I try to do that I would have never done unless the Bible changed me. There are things I would never gone up and try to tell somebody about Jesus Christ unless the Bible taught me that. It is fearful, it has anxiety, and it's not enjoyable when you first begin. You know what? It was the Bible that changed me and taught me and showed me that. There's certain things that I would not say. There's certain things that maybe I would not wear, certain things I would not listen to, certain things I would not watch. You know, perspectives. You know, how I treat others. You know, growing up, I didn't treat the people the way I treat them today. You know, because I got in the Bible and I saw the Bible told us that we're supposed to be forgiving. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be kind. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be compassionate. We don't learn any of that on our own. If we go back in our life and anything that is good in our lives, according to the Bible, is because the Bible changed us and taught us. Now, I know you can be a moral person before you get saved. And I know you can live a life that is pleasing in man's sight and things like that. But when I look back on my life and the changes have been made in my life, it came from the Bible. It could be from studying it. It could be from teaching it. It could come from preaching it. It could come from listening to it. And I tell you, listening to the Bible preach is some of the greatest times of my life I've been helped. I mean, conferences, listening to CDs, tapes, you know, those are things that God can work. And I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to change you into becoming more like a son. None of us have arrived. It's interesting. You look in the Bible, you see people like Paul, and you see people like Peter, you see people like David. You know what they're doing? They're longing to know the Word of God to help them become more like Jesus Christ. We're not talking about these riffraffs or people that are involved in sin, living in sin. We're talking about people whose closest hearts that are close to God, and their desire is, God, take your word and change me and make me into what you want to be. But the problem is, some of us sit and we say, I don't need a change. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm set in my ways. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. I don't care what the book says. I'm just going to be the way I am. That's not the Christian life at all. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be learning. And this year, I think it's a good way to start off, is let the Bible be a motivation for you. Lord, change me. Give me the right motives. I want to become more like your son. I want to make a difference in this world. And I know most of you know our theme for this year is making a difference. And I want to make a difference in this world. But you know how I make a difference first in this world? It's with this Bible making a difference in me. As the Bible makes a difference in me, I'm going to make a difference out there. And there's a lot of different things here. I want you to see the powerful and positive effects of the Bible. The powerful and positive effects of the Bible. We have a lot of different things today, so we're going to have to go through them quickly. If you look on your piece of paper, there's even something on the back. Most of it, you should have something on the back there too, because there's so many different points there. First thing is, God's word was given by God and is profitable. If you look at all scripture, it's given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. As we've learned before, these things, this book has been given to us from God. It's not been given to us from a man. It's not even been given to us from a spiritual leader. God has given us this book. He says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God inspired the word. God breathed the words. It says, and it's profitable. God's Bible is not just profitable to make you look good, to having a Bible sit on your table or make you look good when you come to church. It's profitable for purposes and reasons. You know what it says? It teaches us stuff, the doctrine. What does it teach us? It teaches us reproof. When you've done something wrong, the Bible is supposed to teach you that you're doing wrong. It teaches us correction. What does it teach us? It teaches us how to correct the things that we're doing wrong. And also, and from instruction, for instruction in righteousness, it teaches us how to continue on doing what's right. The Bible is, one of the effects of the Bible is, was given by God and it is profitable. But let's remember, God's word is alive and discerns our hearts. You know, I am so thankful. I cannot fool the Holy Spirit. I cannot fool the Bible. I mean, I am thankful that when there's something going on in my heart and my life, that when someone preaches and God speaks to my heart, you know, the preacher might not thought anything about it, the individual might not thought anything about it, but in our own lives, I am thankful that I can't trick God, because there's things that I need to work on, we need to change, and the Bible itself will point that to us and show us. You know, we ourselves might give us a pass or take recess on certain things, but the Bible, it's quick and it's live. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is the word of God that knows our motives and our motivations, our thoughts. You know, the reason why we come to church, the reason why we pick up the Bible, all those things, the Bible knows, and it goes and breaks right through those and gets to the heart of the matter. I want to encourage you to let the Bible discern your heart and see what you need to do. We touched on this already. The word of God effectually works in us. It says, for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Bible is supposed to work in you. I don't know what your spiritual life is like. I don't know what your Bible life is like. But the Bible is supposed to work in you and help teach you. What are they supposed to teach you? Reproof. It's supposed to teach you correction. It's supposed to teach you how to instruct you in the righteous life. We have to let the Word of God do a work on us. You know, if there's a problem, and if there's a problem at our house, and we know there's a problem at our house, we call a repairman. A repairman comes and says, here it is. You got to fix it. It's going to cost you this much. You know, sometimes when it costs so much, we say, look, I can't afford to fix it right now. Don't fix it. It costs too much. Does it fix the problem? No. Just because we know there's a problem to get fixed, just because somebody comes and looks at it and someone even talks to you about it, doesn't mean that it's going to get fixed. It's when the work begins to happen in our hearts and lives. And the Bible does that work through the Holy Spirit of God, through the reading and memorizing and meditating and teaching and preaching of His Word. Let's also think the Word of God gives us patience, comfort, and hope. We've read this verse already. Talked about, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. That Old Testament, it's old. We don't need to listen to it. It doesn't apply to us. You know, these things were written aforetime. Why is it written for? It's written for our learning. It's the way that God reveals Himself through His Scriptures to us. And what does that, through patience and comfort of Scriptures, we might have hope. And we have hope in the Word of God. Hopefully you understand that what the Word of God can give you, it can give you patience, it can give you comfort, and give you hope. In a world that seems like it's going haywire. And everyone else seems like things are so out of whack that there's no hope. The Bible gives us hope. It teaches us that this world is just not our home and that we're just passing through and that the things that happen here really aren't that big of a deal. Instead, we need to focus on what God's hope is and found in His Word. Think about God's Word is perfect. It is sure. It is right and pure. We've read these verses already too. And it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. You know, it's without mistake. You go in there and you read and says, I don't like that portion of the Bible. I think they made a mistake there. Well, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect.
Yeah.
It's converting the soul. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, I believe the Word of God had to be involved some way. I believe it had to be taught or showed or talked about. I don't think you can just be saved by just saying some words from some individual that did not talk about God. There's the story that must be told is that we are sinners because the Bible tells us we're sinners and that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord is willing to accept that as a payment for our sins and can go to heaven. But it has to consist of the Word of God. The testimony of the Lord, it's sure. It's perfect, it's sure. There's no changing to it. Making wise is simple. The statute of the Lord, they're right. Not only is it perfect and sure, it's right. It's rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, it's pure. You know, these are things that describe the Bible. Do we look at it? Do we read it? Do we hold it? Let it consume our lives? Next thing is God's word purifies our lives. It purifies our lives. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I tell you, that's one promise that I think many of us need to grab a hold of, is let the Word of God purify our hearts and purify our lives. Let the Word of God just flow through our hearts and our lives. It says that it purifies us. And how else are we going to be cleansed? How else are we going to clean our ways? The Bible says it's by taking heed according to thy Word. Now, this is the Word of God. If you got something in your heart and your life that you'd like to get rid of, there's some thoughts maybe, and there's maybe some desires, and there's some things. And I don't know about you, but all men are broken. All women are broken. We all have this fleshly nature. We all have things that we need to deal with and things we need that we struggle with and that we need cleansing from. And it's going to be a constant battle till the day we die and we go to heaven and get that new body. But we're always going to be battling this flesh and there's always something that needs to be cleansed. And how do we get it cleansed? How do we stop that habit? How do we save ourselves from those presumptuous sins that we read about earlier? It's by letting the Word of God cleanse us. By getting in the Bible and letting it make and work in us. You know, God's word enlightens us and directs our path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, it directs us. It leads us. You say, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what I should do. God's word enlightens us. It gives us the words and the paths we should go. And God's word protects us from offense. Great peace have they which love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. You know, God's word protects us from offense. And these are one of the things that is different and contrary to the rest of the world compared to what a Christian is supposed to be like. Once again, you say, Pastor, you never get upset? Of course I get upset. Yeah, people will try to offend you or offend your family or offend somebody that's close to you. Of course, it's going to bother you. But how we respond is the important thing. If we wouldn't know how to respond, guess what? We wouldn't be like we are now. We would respond the way our flesh does. Let's get even. Let's say something bad. Let's hurt them the way they hurt me. But the Bible works on us and teaches us and trains. This is one thing that I know that God has changed in my heart and my life as I read the Word of God and look at the Word of God, that I know that He is the one that will take care of the other people. Now, I'm not saying you let set aside and let people abuse you and say things all, but I am saying that we'll understand. And once again, what does it say? Great peace have they which love thy law. Some of us today have no peace in our hearts and lives. And the reason why is because we have let people offend us and hurt us. And there's no peace. But nothing shall offend them. How do you get there? It's letting the Word of God work in your heart and life. You think about Joseph. You know, Joseph who was sold by his brothers, lied about by Potiphar's wife, forgotten in the prison cell, taken advantage of over and over and over. But what did he do at the end? He forgave. Even after his father died, the brothers are still anxious and worried and says, what did he do? He forgave. What a wonderful example there. But it even pales in comparison to the example of what Jesus Christ did. Man, what they did to him, how they offended him, how they did all those things to him. But he still loved them and died for them. God's word gives true success and prosperity. God's word gives true success and prosperity. Now, this is a long verse, but this would be a good verse to memorize. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. I think, you know, there are a lot of people that have success out there. I mean, there are people who are successful. There are people who do things that are wrong that become successful. But what it's saying here is, if you're willing to do this, then your way can be prosperous. But not only can your way be prosperous, then you can have good success. You know, in the world's eyes, we may be moving forward. We may be doing things and seeing things. But the Bible says, if you want to have good success, it's simple here. Well, it's not simple. It's the equation simple, but it's hard to do. Keep the word of God in your heart and your mind, meditating in it, observing to do what's in it. And then God says he's going to be able to bless you. Then you're going to be able to make the difference that you desire. That's what God's word gives understanding. God's word gives understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, I am thankful that God helps us understand certain things. He writes in his book that how bad man is. And when you hear stories about people that would kill children, like we heard in that school shooting, or when people do horrible things, yes, we see how wickedness God tells us about in his word. He tells us how bad man is, and tells us how bad people can go and how far people can go. And he teaches us not to be surprised by it. And he teaches us that if we will get into his word, we will have an understanding. He gives us, he's willing to give us knowledge. He's willing to give us wisdom. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, talking about or not, that's when we'll have understanding. You know, why do we want to learn about each book of the Bible? Why do we want to learn about his thoughts and the reasons behind it? It's so we can understand the Bible, because the Bible is what changes us and gives us understanding. God's word is eternally valuable. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You know, it's valuable. If you think about it, I know we have so many copies today. We have too many copies sometimes, I think, that we just shove it aside and just don't use it. You know, there are people in the world who do not have Bibles. Some places where they have hidden churches, where they, underground churches, where the Bible is, it is precious. They'll rip the Bible and pages apart, and they'll give sections of the Bible to people, and they'll go and they'll memorize it that week, and they'll switch it up the following week. Sure. There are places like that. They see how valuable it is. We have the Word of God in our hands. How valuable is it to you? I mean, how valuable is it to you? I mean, how much do we really learn and look at it and read it and understand it? A preacher wrote this. I thought it was good. It says, when you are weary, God's word will encourage you. When you seek answers, God's word will guide you. When you need strength, God's word will revive you. When you face a trial, God's word will sustain you. When you enter into despair, God's word will give you hope. When you need wisdom, God's word will enlighten you. When you need to know God's heart, God's word will lead you. When you wander away from Jesus, God's word will find you and show you the path back home. I thought that was nice. And I thought it was what God's word can do to it. Here's the question I like to ask you is, where do you turn? When you have a problem, when you have a need, go ahead and take your Bibles if you like to and turn to Proverbs chapter number 2. What do you seek? When you have something, when you need something, when you want something, where is it you go? Who is it that you call? Do you turn to the Bible first, or do you turn to the Google bar where you type in, how do you fix this? Because I know sometimes when I have a need, sometimes I even can't remember a certain scripture, I'll type into the Google bar and I'll type in the verse in the Bible that talks about this, and it will pop right up. Where I have a Bible word search program, and I'll type those things in. But where do you look for answers? Where do you seek change and personal growth from? You know, are you going to those self-help books? That's what I have a problem with some of those preachers that are on TV today that get up and it seems like more of a self-help message than it is a Word of God message. They'll get up there and they'll have a big smile on their face and they'll talk about, they'll motivate you to be a good person, but they don't use the Word of God. The Word of God is what changes lives today, and that's what we need to look at and remember. Too many Christians have become bored and disconnected from their most vital source of nourishment and motivation. Too often we first turn to our own devices, and God's Word becomes our last thought. The last place we will turn to would be the Word of God and see what it says. Proverbs chapter number 2, verses 1 through 6, I always use this as an illustration of if we told you there was $1 million on the church property, whoever found it first got to keep it. You know, we would tear the place up looking for it. And we would look and look and look. But according to this, the Bible says what you really need is understanding and wisdom. How do you find it? Well, it says it here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Once again, it's hiding God's word in your heart. So that thou incline thy ear, that you desire to listen, that on purpose you incline your ear unto wisdom. And that what you hear, you apply thine heart to understanding. And if you're still searching, look what it says. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. That means you just don't flip up the book open and say, well, I didn't learn anything. It means that you search for it and you seek for it. And not only crying, it says, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest for as silver, and search for as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, like I said, if there was something we need, we search for. If there's some type of item that we see and we want, we'll go on the internet, and we'll look for it and look for it and look for it. But when we need something from the Bible, we need guidance. Where do we turn? Do we turn to our friends? And once again, there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Godly wisdom. People that use the Bible or principles from the Word of God. Yes, I know they can help you. But search the Bible for it. Allow it to be the place you turn. Here's some suggestions. Here's some suggestions about how to make the Bible preeminent in your life. Regularly spend personal time with God through His Word. This is an easy one, but it's hard to do. I mean, I don't know about you, but the devil puts things in our paths and our ways to where when we're working and trying to help others, that we let the Word of God stay on the side. Let's see here. It says, as we serve all others, there is often a temptation to forgo our own personal time with the Lord. You ever been there? You're working hard. You want to help everybody else. You got a long list of things to do. And you just say, well, I'll read it later. Later never comes. At the end of the day, you turn around and say, tomorrow I'm going to do better. And tomorrow your list is longer than it was the day before. And somebody calls you and they call you too early. And you guess, resist the tendency and instead purposely schedule time to take to daily steep your mind in God's Word. Read it, study it, memorize it, apply it. And above all, seek God through it. God reveals himself to us through his Word. And as we seek his face through the pages of Scripture, he draws nigh to us. So we need to remember all those benefits. Listen to the next one. Another suggestion. Not only set up a regular time, meditate on what God's promises is available through his Word. And these Psalms 19 and Psalms 119, we saw all those different benefits. Remembering the treasures contained in Scripture will motivate you to personally seek these blessings from God. And one of my favorite promises in the Bible is the fact he says he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You meditate on that. And you can face the day a lot better knowing that God's there with you. If you read Psalms 19 and discover specifically how God uses his word in our lives, study Psalms 119 and note the many ways which God's word impact our lives. And what a treasure it is to those who love it. You know, we need to learn how to meditate on the Bible. One of the best things to meditate on to begin with is the promises. And as God helps us, we can begin to learning more and more things to meditate. Next thing is, periodically, take personal inventory of specific ways that God has recently changed your life through his word. Say, Pastor, it's been a long time since God's changed his life because of my word, his word. I don't think the problem's with God's word, though. The problem is that God wants to change us. And many times we just choose not to let the Bible change us. The inspired words of God have the power to transform our lives, has the power to transform our thoughts, has the power to transform our habits, our desires, our choices, and our patterns of living. If you just go back to, if you've been saved for a number of years and what you were beforehand and what you are today, there should be a change. There should be things that are different. Our patterns, our thoughts, our habits, our desires, our choices, they should be all different. But this only happens if we give God's word entrance into our souls, into our lives. It only happens if we allow God to come. You say, Pastor, I come here preaching 4 times a week. I read my Bible every day. Do you apply it to your heart? Do you take what's heard? We are so good at sitting and saying, hey, that is a great message, Pastor. I hope somebody got something out of it. That really works for my wife. That really works for those kids. Those teenagers really need to hear that. And those people that sit over there, they really need to hear that. We got to let it apply to our hearts and look at the Word of God. How could Paul, they talk about his greatest desire in life was just to know him better. How could Paul, the great Christian, the great apostle, say that? It's because he understood. He needed to continue to learn and continue to grow. As you periodically pause to list positive changes God has brought into your life over the past weeks or months, 2 blessings are possible. First, you will rejoice at what God has done in your life, and you will grow in your love for God's word. Or you will see while you may have been around Scripture, you have not been recently changed by its truth. This can prompt you to search your heart and renew your hunger for truth, effective change in your life. When Brother Barnhouse came this past summer, he came to me. He says, boy, it was nice to see a lot of these people. And he says, I could not imagine that so-and-so would be doing this. I can't believe that so-and-so is being faithful to church and that they're doing this and doing that. He says, leaving for 10 years and coming back and seeing people change in their lives. Amen. I mean, that's wonderful. No, we should grow in our Christian lives. When's the last time we changed? When's the last time we let God's work in our heart? God's word teaches and tells us, hey, stop doing this. Hey, start doing this. So many of us are set in stone-faced that we don't think we need to change. But the Bible tells us we've never arrived. We need to continue to grow. And last but not least, purposely center your life around God's word. On purpose, let it help you in your decision-making. On purpose, let it lead you and guide you. Let it become a vital and necessary part of your life. Let the Bible be the center of your life and your heart. Say, Pastor, who does that? The person who's thankful in their Christian walk. The person who's rejoicing and praising the Lord, even though times are hard and times are tough. The person who seems that God is blessing. The person who seems that God is using. The person who really is making a difference in our lives. Job, in his book, he says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. He says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He's saying, more than just the food that keeps me alive. I think God's word is more valuable to me than that. We'll go ahead and let the people that need to go to a certain ministry leave a couple minutes early. That we'll dismiss in just a second.